Hey there, this is Seth Juarez again with Channel 9 here with Tomáš Petrček. We've been talking a lot about F-sharp, and I gave you sort of a challenge off camera. I was like, okay, so we did this cool sample with type providers. Is there a way to make something real out of it that actually looks like something more interesting than stuff in
yeah.
IDE? So this is what we started with first, right?
That's right. So we actually started with 9 lines of code.
That's
and
right.
Today we are going to be really adventurous and we'll add a few more.
Okay, cool.
I think the full one is like 30.
Okay.
So we started with this one where we referenced the F-sharp data package. Mm-hmm. And again, I can just show it how this runs in F-sharp Interactive. We used this API for accessing weather forecast and we used the JSON type provider. Mm-hmm. To get the weather and print the weather for the next few days. Mm-hmm. So what we did here off recording mm-hmm. is a sort of longer version of the sample that follows the same idea. We get some data, but then rather than just printing it in F-sharp Interactive, we're actually going to host it in a web server, mm-hmm. and then we are going to deploy this to Azure websites.
Cool. It looks like we're going to make a website then.
We're going to make a website.
All right, well, show us what you got here. What is this doing? It looks a little similar to what we had before, but then we're doing some extra beefiness.
Yeah, it's following the same idea. And I actually, the nice thing is we can still run all of this in F-sharp Interactive.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to, enable it when we need it. Mm-hmm. So let's just load everything here. And then I added this format weather function. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make it as simple as possible. So what the format weather function does is that it takes, this is actually using currying. Mm-hmm. So format weather is a function that takes a bunch of strings and decimals mm-hmm. and produces some HTML with this heading and then link to
some image
we are going to give it and then paragraph with, and this bit here just says, take a decimal and format it with no decimal points. Mm-hmm.
In essence, it's a list of what we had before, except we're giving a little bit more information.
Yeah, yeah.
We're saying, here's the weather here for these couple of days.
Yeah. So I can define this function here. There's another function we need because the API returns timestamps, mm-hmm. I think in some Unix format. So we're going to calculate, get just the date time from mm-hmm. it. So that's another helper we need.
And then this is where we're putting it all together.
Yeah, so we say, get the sample. And again, this is actually a nice thing we can do here because the sample here uses London, UK, mm-hmm. but rather than getting the sample is there just to drive the type inference mm-hmm. for the JSON type provider. So we can say load and use another URL.
Which is the one we had.
So here we can say, give me the weather for Seattle.
Which is the one we had before.
Yeah. Okay. And this is going to work because the API returns the data in the same format for both of them. So we get this and then we get a list. Well, we iterate over the list and mm-hmm. format all the weather items. We get the date, which is an int, mm-hmm. turn it into a date time. We get the icon, which is just a string mm-hmm. for the URL. We get the day and night temperatures. Then we concatenate it. So what I did here wrong was that when I defined this, the percent %f, it can work with any numerical type, but I'll have to run it all at once so that it knows I need to use it as a decimal.
I see, because the strong type inference only happens when it knows everything in context.
In this one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So now we've got some weather here as a HTML. I can actually type and say, give me all the HTML we generated.
That's cool.
So that's part of our...
So that was the same thing we did before, except now we're making it prettier.
Yeah. We basically, if you look at the code we did before, we basically just took this and turned it from a for loop that's imperative and to for loop that's functional and returns a list.
Got it. Except now this list is concatenated into this lovely screen.
Yep, yep. So that's the first bit here, and I thought we could make it a bit more interesting.
Okay.
So I added one more example, which is following exactly the same pattern, but this time we are not using the JSON type provider, but we're using XML type provider.
Cool.
For reading RSS feeds. So this is connecting to the BBC website.
Okay.
Just using that as a sample. And then we have format news.
Which is the same what we did before, but now we're doing it with news.
Yeah, yeah. And this just takes the link to the image, link to the website, the text, and some description.
So let's pause right here, because I didn't ask this before, but let format news, that's a function, right? Or is that... Yes,
yeah.
But it actually took the percent S's and knew those needed to be parameters that are passed in.
Yeah, so there's two pieces of magic happening here. One is that the F-sharp compiler actually understands this percent S.
Right.
So if I change it to percent D, then...
Broke the code.
It broke the code. So that wasn't a very good example. But if we commented out this bit, then this would be...
Maybe you should re-execute. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Now it's taking int.
That's cool.
And yeah, the other piece of magic that's happening here is that I don't have to say, so this is image, link, heading, and text.
Which is kind of what we saw before when you did the function thing as well.
Yeah, yeah. So normally you would just have to take all the parameters and then pass them here.
Which seems redundant anyway.
It does, so we just delete it. But basically, it works because the function, we can partially apply it.
Right.
And just give it the format string. And what we are left with is a function that takes all the things that we want to show on our website.
Oh, I see. So it's still following all the right principles.
It's still a function. It still takes all the arguments. It's just the same as what we had if we wrote it with the explicit parameters.
Cool. Well, let's see what it returns.
Well, then let's run it.
Because I'm getting all used to seeing things happening automatically now with the script window.
So here's our news. And again, I think here we took 15. Mm-hmm. We iterate over them. And I'm going to change it and do a new line, because then we can see it better. So
there you go.
Here we've got li with image link, and then
the header,
the link to the website, and then
some text, which happens to be, so you can see that here in the format news on the yield thumb URL link item title item source.
Yeah, and the thumb is actually, we are getting it from this thumbnails, which is an array, and we want the largest one. So I just said max by width, which gives me the one item in the collection of the thumbnails they give me, which is the larger one.
And that's cool, because what you're actually getting from the RSS, from this type provider, is you're getting that these things are already in there.
Yeah, yeah. And you're getting all the auto completion here, so I can access channel. And then when I get the item, I can just do item dot. And you can see I have description, the pub date, which in this case works really nicely. It just infers that as date time.
Cool.
And then thumbnails is a collection where if we get the first one, we get the size and the URL.
Got it.
So you can do all of this without reading any documentation, just in your editor.
That's cool. And so now we've got the weather, we've got the news. Let's do something with it.
Yeah. So I actually added reference to one more package here called Suave. Mm-hmm. And this is a lightweight functional web server where, well, basically, if you look at web development, all you need to write is a function that takes request and produces response.
Right.
So it sounds like it should be really easy to write it in a functional language.
Right.
And
my first project I ever wrote was a web server, and this was in 2008, 2007.
Cool.
And it was super easy.
Yeah.
And so Suave By the way, suave in Spanish means soft. Did you know that?
It was. I think it was written by some Spanish people as well.
And it also means really cool. So
it is really cool.
So this is a package that actually hosts these things. So what's going on down here then?
So here I'm just referencing the package and opening some namespaces. Mm-hmm. And then what I'm doing is that I'm going to read this template I created. So mm-hmm. this is another file here. Just a boring HTML template.
But you have a placeholders for number one.
Yeah,
number two.
I have number one, number two placeholders, and then I'm going to read this, and then replace the placeholders. And I'm doing this just because I wanted something that's super simple.
And OK is a type defined inside of Suave, which is the for the there's like an OK response code.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
So here. What we are building is this web part, mm-hmm. and Suave lets you compose web parts. So you can say, well, here we are building a web part that always succeeds and returns this HTML. Mm-hmm. But we could build, there's a lot of combinators for doing this.
What's a combinator? What does that mean?
So combinator is basically a way of composing web parts in this example.
Got it.
So we could say path, and I would have to open some more namespaces there. Mm-hmm. But we could say, check that the request path is just slash.
I see, it's kind of like then, it's like a route configuration part.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
But here we have it in a nice embedded DSL in F Sharp. So here we're just building a web server that ignores the request and always returns this.
So for any request to that web server, it's just going to return this. Yeah. Got it. And then start web server, I guess, is a function inside of Suave.
That's right.
With the default configuration that's going to return this app.
Yes.
So and the app could also be like, it could use pattern matching for the request types, for routes, for all that other stuff to return different things, basically.
Yeah, yeah. You can write a nice sort of RESTful service where you say, if path is slash check or slash news or slash weather and the request kind is get or post, then just run one of these web parts.
Cool. All right, let's see what happens.
All right, so I'm going to check my state. I define HTML and app, and I'm just going to run this. And it says started, and then here we have a web server running 8083. So I can just open that. And here's our website.
That wasn't a lot of code, was it? Well, and it was probably repetitive code, too. Two of them were about the same.
Yeah, it's actually 45 lines of code. We could make it even shorter.
Yeah, no kidding. So this is nice, but I want to deploy something now. How does one deploy these kinds of things? Obviously, Azure Websites is a really nice place to put this. Mm-hmm. Is there a way, because this doesn't feel like the normal IISE type thingy. So how does one deploy something like this?
Yeah, so there's a thing called HTTP Platform Handler in Azure Websites. And there's actually a nice recent blog post from Scott Hanselman that shows how to do this, how to deploy Suave websites to Azure. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do here is that I put the sample we just wrote on GitHub already. And there's a few more files. But I was really just editing one script file that was the app.fsx. Mm-hmm. And here we've got some other boilerplate code. One thing that I didn't show that's in here is this build file. And that's actually nice for local development, because when you're doing things locally, like here I just wrote everything and then started the web server. Mm-hmm. But you can also run the build command. And what that does is that it will start the server and watch for the changes in the app.fsx file.
I see.
And whenever you change it, it will reload it.
That's cool.
So you get really quick feedback loop. Right, so we've got this here. And then the interesting bit is there's webconfig and there's .deployment. Mm-hmm. That's like two specific things you need for Azure. So in .deployment, we just say, well, when you want to deploy stuff, run build deploy, mm-hmm. and that's using fake, which is F-sharp make file,
right.
To copy the files to the right location on the web server. And then here in the web config, we are telling IIS, use the HTTP platform handler, and when you load the website, call fake to run it. And we started with this FSX file here, which loads the app FSX and hosts it on this port.
And these variables here are just whatever specific machine it's running on.
Yeah, that's something that the Azure websites will give us there. Cool.
So how do you actually deploy? Is there a magic button?
There is a magic button.
There it is.
So did you want it to deploy it to Azure then?
Yes, of course.
We have actually multiple magic buttons, but let's
see. So what is that magic button? I mean, that's in the README file, correct?
Yeah, that's in the README file. And we can actually have a look at it here.
Raw.
So we just say Azure deploy.net deploy button.
Right.
The Azure deploy website, I think it checks the referral. And when it's coming from GitHub, in this case, this URL, mm-hmm. it will pick the repository and.
Hey!
Well, let's see what's happening. I think we'll need to give it some account first.
Looks like we've deployed.
Now,
it didn't take quite as long as you just saw. Just thought it'd be funny to make it look like it. We had a problem. I think we had already deployed it, and
yeah,
it got angry at
us. I think
us.
It didn't like the fact that I already had the same GitHub repo deployed.
And so
and we wanted to show you the whole story.
Yeah, so what we did is we deleted it and put it back on. And so now it's up and running. Let's see what it does.
Yeah, now it's just actually starting the SUI server. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes Azure websites a little bit of time to start it for the first time. But now we are here.
Now, if we were to go to this website tomorrow, it's going to be different because it's pulling from the actual URL using the type providers.
Yeah, that's right.
That's so cool. So this is, you've literally like built a portal for news and weather.
Yeah, I've built a portal for news and weather.
And how many lines was it? Let's go back.
I think it was 35. Yeah, no, 45.
It's
a long website.
Oh, that's really cool.
We could probably optimize it and make it under 40.
That's cool. Well, thanks so much for showing us type providers in action, building something useful and deploying it even to Azure websites using Suave. Thanks so much, bud. Anything else you want to add?
I think people should just check it out.
Yeah.
And for this one, there's a good starting point, which is the Scott Hanselman's blog post.
Okay.
And we can give you samples like the one we just showed here,
Okay. Links
to GitHub. And so that's the best place to start. The Suave web server actually has a nice website as well.
Oh.
So if you go to suave.io.
It's even an I.O.
It's an I.O.
It's
website.
Like a super cool hipster.
Well, you can see it
dude.
There.
Yeah.
But it's pretty amazing because you can just put together a nice website in just a couple of lines in a nice interactive F-sharpy way in a script file and deploy it to Azure.
Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. It's been a pleasure to look at not just F-sharp, but what it can do for us, how the language is constructed, as well as some interesting type provider things, and then pushing something actually real up to Azure. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. We will see you next time. Take care.